pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we bow here in your presence this hour, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings. Father, we thank you for the group of children that are standing here before us today, Lord. Sometimes we look at that and our hearts tremble. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for each and every one of those children, Lord, that they can grow up to be warriors for your kingdom, Father. So today we just pray for Jonas here as he stands before us and he has a message prepared for us. We just pray, Lord, you would calm his heart, that he can preach this message with zeal and confidence this morning. Father, we pray for every heart that's in this room, that it can be prepared to receive this message, that they can receive it with gladness and they can receive it with joy, and they can be like the people that receive it, and they receive it and they produce fruit, some 30, some 40, some 50, and then some 100, and some maybe more. So Father, you be in with Jonas here as he stands before us and give him a calmness of heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, greet you all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. It's a tremendous blessing to be here gathered again in the house of God. Tremendous blessing. Many things happened in the last 48 hours to send all of our minds in different ways of thinking, and a beautiful, beautiful day to be gathered in the house of the Lord. After a storm, it's a good place to be after a storm. So may the Lord have his way, may his will be done today as we continue forward in the next few moments. I would like to speak today on the subject of thinking in our mind. I've been thinking practically, been thinking over the past while. I was thinking about the saints, and so this message that is in my heart is primarily for God's children. It's for saints, for the children of God. But it's also for everyone. No matter where we find ourselves this morning, we find ourselves thinking, dreaming, meditating, looking forward or looking backward. So it's a very powerful thought. The very thought of this is very powerful. It comes with many risks. We won't want to talk this morning about positive thinking, trying to drum up some strong thinking pattern that makes our voice louder or makes us be more intimidating. But the very thinking patterns of God, the very thought of God, we would like to look at and think about. Every stage of life. Was thinking this morning from the youngest child until the oldest, responsible adult. My heart this morning, as I thought of these things, was turned to thanksgiving and praise, because we serve a God who already knows it all. He already knows it all. God, in His goodness, He is our God. We heard so much about Him this morning. He is our God. He continues to pour. He continues to pour out His love upon man. He never stops. Though many scorn Him and turn away from Him, He never does that. Trying to establish God in a small fraction, it's hard to do that. God is so big. So with that, may the Lord receive the glory due to His name. So these are some thoughts I've been having in the last probably couple weeks, just thinking about that. I know I started earlier through the epistle there, Colossians. I'm just going to maybe pick that up another time. I'd like to share this burden that Lord laid upon my heart. So the title for some of the thoughts that I have this morning, As a Man Thinketh, So Is He. If you want a title. It's very clear this morning that everything starts with a thought. Keep in mind, nothing happens without a foundational thought. Now, there's sporadic things that happen, but thoughts is where things happen from. Turn your Bibles. If you have a Bible, you can turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians. We want to read some scriptures just for some verses to work from and build from. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll start in verse 1. Some words from the Apostle Paul. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. It starts, Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as we walked according to the flesh. Verse 3, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do not look on things after the outward appearance. If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such as one think this, such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also in deed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you, also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Some very familiar verses, but these verses, as I meditate on these verses, become an inspiration in our own life as a family. I just want to look at those. Some of these thoughts are not born because of any particular person, but it become a burden and it become an inspiration in my life. I feel like there's times and seasons that we go through things. Every one of us, we do. So some of these things are from this perspective. God wants us to live with a purpose. God wants us to live with a designed purpose because He is that way. God has been faithful this morning to move our minds and our thoughts in His direction, toward Him, with Him. Think of verse 3 to 8, very familiar scriptures there. Think of a few of these a few of these scriptures and then think of our thinking patterns. How do we think? And I realized this morning as I thought of sharing on the mind and sharing on thinking that we run a risk. There's maybe sometimes people that are very sensitive and they don't know if they're Christians. They don't know if they're right with God. And they're perfectly okay with God. Then the other side is that I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. So we run a risk. But may the God of heaven have his way today and search the mind of his creation. Can we do that for him today? He deserves that glory from our lives. Let him search our mind and see if there is any wicked way in us. And he loves to do that. He loves to help us. He loves to clean us. He loves to show us more of himself. I realized this morning that thinking and thinking patterns create actions. And then actions create character. And I don't know that has ever changed in the landscape of mankind. Are we thankful for that this morning? I am thankful that that'll never change. As a man thinketh, so is he. Someday you will do exactly what you're thinking in this room this morning. See, we don't have that. Brother James is talking about leaving the secret things of God to God. But we have to work with things that we're aware of. But there are secret things in this room that some of us don't know about. We trust each other. We do. And we're very thankful for that. But that's why we make eternal pleas from the Word of God. That as you're thinking this morning, as I'm thinking this morning, so you will be. That's why we do that. That's why we do that for ourselves and for our families and for our brothers and sisters. Because it makes a difference in how you think. I want to look at a few areas of thinking. One of the things that I felt needful to do, and it was a blessing to study in my own life, is to think properly is to be convinced. To be convinced of something is not just a strong, motivated thinking pattern. You know, if a man comes to a woman and says, I want to marry you, and he tells her, I don't know for sure, but I just want to try it. It might work. What do you think that dear woman would do if she has any sanity to her? She'd run away. You see, that's truth. That's the truth of when God looks down and when he says something, what does God say? Does he respond like that? So in order for us to identify the way we think, we have to look at what we're doing. We can't divide it. It's amazing what we're saying, what we're thinking. We need to be convinced this morning. One of the points on thinking, we need to be convinced this morning that everything in this world, every system, everything around us is going to sink. It's going to sink. Someday, it's going to sink into the center of the earth, into a bottomless pit. And the Bible says that this is a place that burneth with fire. I know that's a lot. It burneth with fire, and not just fire this morning, but unquenchable fire. That's what the Bible tells us. That is established by God. But the interesting thing is that was an inspiration, and I know we believe this, but I think it's important for us to think about this. It's established by God for the devil and his angels. Now remember that. It's not established by God for all of us, his created human beings. Hell is not established for you and I. Hell is established for the devil and his angels. And that is a convincing, propelling burden that God has, that he wants us to have. So we don't, as Christians, don't need to worry about always going to hell. Meditate. Think about how to please God. God wants to help us. Not just a fire I shared, an unquenchable fire, but it is a reality. But many times this reality doesn't stop at a mental assent of yes, I know. But it never convinces enough. It never convinces enough to take a mindset and change it. And eternally change it. And so the burden would be that we would be convinced in our mind. I know we are as Christians, but maybe there's someone that's not right with God in a crowd, in this crowd this morning. That you'd be convinced in your mind to make a change of lordship because of this eternal truth. A change of lordship. God is wanting that. It seems to be fearful to talk about hell, unquenchable fire, to speak of a place like that. But I think it's necessary to speak about it because it's a reality. But this morning, alongside of that, it is also a great joy. It's with great joy that we can preach about a Father in heaven that didn't create anyone to go there. That's a blessing this morning. But by his divinity, by his divine character, from the start of his creation, he's pushing into mankind. And he's pushing this morning. Because his desire for you is greater many times than your desire for him. His desire is to push every man, push toward every man. No respecter of persons. So with that established thought of God, who is God? It's a weak attempt to try to explain how God thinks. I have some verses to share, but I think it's very important because it helps our foundation in thinking to know who God is in the smallest way as we can. It helps propel us forward with right thinking. With that in mind, think this morning how foolish it would be to resist the one that created you. How foolish things have been said like, I know where I'm going. Think of how that pains the heart of God when an individual resists their creator and says, I'm going to hell, I know where I'm going. Think of that. But not just people say that, but there are people that think that way. I'm just never good enough. I just probably won't make it. That is against the very nature of heaven, the very nature of our God. And I want us to think about that. Very powerful the way we think. It seems like if there would be one thing that would be some of the greatest sin of mankind is this, is just to simply resist that. You know, we think a whole boatload of sin is a bad thing. That person needs more salvation. But an individual that just pushes back against their creator is great sin before God this morning. Great sin. It's a primitive root of all sin. You know, a thinking pattern is split open. The way we think is split open. God doesn't, there's nothing hid before God. It's split open in the Strong's. It talks about an opening door or a gateway into a man's life. It's the way you think. You know, this thinking of positive thinking or those things that you sit quietly and fold your legs and shut your eyes and just think real hard toward the ceiling and try to make yourself think something is not the thinking of God. It's not how it works. Just trying real hard to change how I'm thinking. That's not how God works. We see how when a man comes to this place and says, I'm not thinking right, God will change his thinking every time. But when we don't come to that place, we can sit with our eyes shut and we can sit in a pool of mud, so to speak, and try to meditate our mind out of it, but stay in the mud. Think about it. Nothing changes. And we open our eyes and we might think we have felt better, but we have never gotten out of the mud. We never realized that we've been thinking wrong. Sometimes that happens. And then other times there's out of balance thinkings that we endorse or we take a hold of in life. Just out of balance thinkings. And we'd like to look at that a little bit more in light of the Christians, the saints. The first part there was the resistive toward God. The saints, sometimes we get out of balance in our thinking, and this is the very garden for Satan to work. Satan loves to do this. Jeremiah chapter 29, I think that verse was read this morning by our brother. I'm going to read some of those verses for some foundation of what God thinks. Because we will see that who would not raise their hand this morning, all of us together, and say, we want to think like God thinks. But we really need help. We need God. That's what we need. So Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 11, I'm going to read a few verses. This is right after the 70 years in Babylon there. In verse 10 and in verse 11 it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into a place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." You see a beautiful heart of God there in Jeremiah 29. The very place that he drove them out of, he's saying, this is what I think about you. I want to bring you back into what I have driven you out of. Isn't that a beautiful heart? Isn't that a beautiful God? And how can we ever say, God don't love me? With this foundation of the scriptures, I don't know if God loves me. God loves us. You know, his heart, his thinking toward us is to give us an expected end there in those verses. His thinking is not evil. You know, God has thoughts of peace. What are my thoughts? God has thoughts of peace toward you and I this morning. What are my thoughts? Isaiah 55, a few more verses. Isaiah chapter 55, very familiar verses. This is the prophet Isaiah in verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And then verse 10, it says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so is my word that goeth forth." And that's an inspiration. When I think of that this morning, you know, I was sharing and thinking, and just the past few hours, other evening we were driving home, it was wee hours in the morning, and I was thinking that we would preach the word that would be here when none of us are here. Not one of us in this room. That's the burden of God. This word goeth forth from God this morning, not just because of me, but because of the word of God. And it goeth forth and it bringeth forth fruit from the earth. It never goes back. It's going out from the word of God. It goes out and it bringeth forth fruit. That's how God thinks. He doesn't think, well, I'm not going to share it with them people because, no, he just pours his word out continually and continually. And so you see that heart of God there. You know, he talks there in those verses, verse 6, call upon him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. And that's an eternal plea, an eternal call. This morning, he's here. Call upon him when he's near. How much nearer? You know, God will never become nearer than right now, this morning. He will never become near. It's God is here. You know, there's times he can feel nearer, and sometimes he does those things for a purpose to show us. But by a tenor of the scriptures, God will never be nearer than right here. Right in our Bible readings, right in our preaching, right in the Word of God, right here. This is it. And this is blessing, because if it's another way, then it just confuses it. The Word of God this morning, this is near. This is what it means near. God will never get nearer to you than right now. You and I, never. He will in a different sense, but I'm trying to make a point. Not everything might come out theologically correct. But think about this. God will never do anything other than allow you to sit and hear his word and respond to it and change your life. He loves to do that, however he can do that. Verse 7. Verse 7 and 8 in them same scriptures, it talks about how God thinks there. You know, when we think about how we think, God is saying here in Isaiah 55 that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So when we read those scriptures in 2 Corinthians, it talks about taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. So we would acknowledge, most of us would readily acknowledge that as we're walking through life and thinking, that we don't always think just like God thinks. And that's what causes all the problems. I would say that's the only thing that ever causes problems is when we're not in the harness with God. We're just out of balance a little bit. And so that is the encouragement that I'd like to give my own life and all of us as saints. Seek to walk in God's thought pattern. And it is a blessing. Nothing but a blessing can come out of that. There's never a loss will happen. The last scripture for this, the foundation of how God thinks, is Psalms 40, also very familiar scriptures. Psalms 40, verse 1, says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, and out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonderful works which thou hast done. In thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Think about those powerful scriptures. God's thoughts are more than can be numbered to usward this morning. We can't number them. See, we live by numbers and clocks and time. But God can't be numbered. And then he kind of shares the very heart of God right out of Psalms 40. Going on in the next verse, it says, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of this book. Right here. He said, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. We can continue to read there, but I want us to think about something about the very heart of God. It draws us to think right. You know, the message from David in Psalms, the message from David is sometimes we hear a tint of this message. You know, David sinned pretty bad and he was good with God. But that's not the message. That's not the heart of God. When you see David sinned, but his heart turned toward God. And when that happened, there's nowhere that we can see that David was saying, hey, I sinned and I got by with it. No, he said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Sacrifice and offering, he understood that. And so that's why David is noted as a man after God's own heart. Would be in the transforming would be mindset. He got a picture of God's mind. He understood what God was looking for. And I had to think, just as David said there, that he has not hid the righteousness from the congregations. That's the call of the Christian church, is to lift up the standard high, because the war is raging. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 139. That's actually a few more verses there. Psalms 39. Again, David, O Lord, he says, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Isn't that something? Isn't that a blessing? David's God was acquainted with all his ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Now this isn't condemnation. This is beautiful. I think of the very hand of God upon David. David realized that God's hand was upon him. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. He said, it's too high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? Then he says in verse 8, if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light around me. Hallelujah. You know, it's a blessing that man can never run from their Creator. Never run. It says, yea, in verse 12, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness as the light are both alike to thee, O Lord. He didn't say that. I said, O Lord. You know, so it's light in here, and it's light in here, but turn the lights off, and would you do something different? That's God. He doesn't see light or dark. He sees light. He sees everything. And then we want to just look down, and then we see why David could say in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." He says, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. And that's why I was sharing earlier about running a risk. I would like to share some of the burdens that I've very practically that happened through these times. Want to think about God. God is drawing men to himself. He has always done this. And when David says here, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts." You know that any man, as we move toward God, as his children, and we desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of him, and we can lift our hearts heavenward. Young person, middle age or older, we can lift our hearts heavenward. We can do that with an open heart. And then we say, "Try me. Search me." That's the position of that person. And God will do that. But remember that when that openness is before God, it's like a bedrock for Satan to destroy. Because in that, there'll be imperfections. There'll be, you're moving toward God. You're not moving away from God. Your eyes are toward Jesus, toward Christ. You're not, your eyes aren't away from him as a saint. And that's why David could say, "Please, Lord, prove me." That's why David could say that. Can you and I say that this morning? Whatever happens in life, can we say, "Please, Lord, prove me. Prove me." Jesus said, with this scripture, and I think a good interpretation, Jesus said, "Think not that I've come to destroy men's lives." This is Jesus. This is God in the flesh. Jesus has never come to destroy men's lives. Remember, hell is prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Not you and I. Just remember that thought. So the reality this morning, that this is a journey, we'd like to think different sometimes, I know that, but this is a journey that will go on and on and on. And it's important that we win these battles of our thinking and our mind by the power and by the Spirit of the living God. It will go on and on until the day we die. And then when we commit to that, there's a lot of there's freedom there, because we're always looking to stop. We want to just breathe just a little bit. But that's why we look forward to that great day. Do we look forward to that great day when it's all over? You know, the battles are all over. But here in this life, we are in a battle. Think about the very essence of truth, though, when Jesus says, "Think not that I've come to destroy men's lives." You know that very Jesus wants to walk in us and with us and carry us through this life, that we can faithfully and safely make it home. And then he will present us with great joy to our Father in heaven. So as a young person, probably young child, young children face these things, young people, middle-aged, and older people as well. In this battle of thinking toward God, with an eye turned toward him, looking to Jesus for strength and confidence, when this position is aspired and moved toward, this is the very crosshairs of Satan. The very crosshairs of Satan. So, in my life, I tremble to speak about that because I don't know much about that. But I know it's real. And you do too. The very crosshairs of Satan. Because as you go toward Christ, all your faults become big. You see them too, and everybody else sees them too. But you're going toward Christ. Are we part of Satan's army? Or are we part of God's army? May we be part of God's army, encouraging each other, that we don't want, no one wants to fall by the wayside and lose this battle of the mind. Turn back to 2 Corinthians, some of the text verses. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 for a different point here on the battle, taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. And as I had thought about this truth throughout my life, many of you have thoughts, and that's why it's we barely touch a tip of an iceberg. But to help us together to stimulate some, I'll make myself vulnerable and share some of my thoughts. It doesn't mean that they'll be perfectly right. But taking thoughts captive, and I have seen through my life that this very verse has been taken by the enemy and crippled men and women to try to think. This very beautiful verse of God, Satan has taken it to destroy and slaughter his creation, the people. And I say that because he's done that. He tried to do that to Jesus when Jesus was praying, and those three accounts in the Gospels. He tried to take the very word of God and to put him in a corner. I would make a plea this morning that we don't read a verse like this. See, read that verse, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so when you read that verse, all of a sudden you have a thought that you know is against the knowledge of God. Two things happen. Now these are just my interpretations. Two things happen. You say, oh, that's not from God, and we cast it down. Or we say, I can't believe I thought that thought. I thought I was better than that. I want to think about those two things. And then I think that verse 7 makes a lot more sense. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Christ understands that. But the most devastating thing to do right there is take a justifiable route out, or condemn yourself to the point where I can't believe I thought that thought. Isn't that true? If nobody understands that, I'm open for correction. Isn't that true? Like, how did I think about that? I'm surely better than that. Actually, you're not. None of us are. God wants to continue to clean us and renew us in the spirit of our mind, right? That's God. So to think properly about oneself is very, very vital here. Very vital. But I like to look at that verse in see verse 5. You know, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. So there's a thought comes, and you captivate that thought, okay? It happens. And you say, you know what? What do I do with that? And you put it before the test. What's the test? Not the brother that's maybe struggling with the same deal, but put it to the test, to the Word of God. Find some scriptures for that. Read them.
Think about them. That thought has to be dealt with. And because I've seen sometimes that the thoughts come by one and two, and then they come by a flood. And who can number them? Who can number them? I don't want to start trying. When they start coming, we bow down and we say, "Yes, God, we need you." Who can number those thoughts? Because there's times where those thoughts are so intense that men can't live with them. They can't live with them. The evil thought of living life is too overwhelming. So if that happens in you and I's mind, talk to someone, because it's not the heart of God. Talk to someone. Speak to God. Speak to your mother and father. Speak to someone. Taking it into that thought captive, take it to the obedience of Christ, and if it fits, move forward. Just one step, move forward, and God will bless that. God will bless that. And if not, cast it down. Don't condemn yourself. Cast it down. Ask God for a cleansing for that thought or thoughts. God will do that. He understands that. Most of the time, those thoughts don't necessarily come from God. They come from what we've done, what we've opened ourselves up to, what we've endorsed and opened our gateway to our mind. Just some thoughts I had in there. I want us to think, because sometimes that verse 7, it says, "Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust in himself that he is in Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." And I don't think that the interpretation of that scripture, I believe, has been warped a bit sometimes in the interpretation that, you know, it is eternally true this morning that our thought life can never be covered up by appearance. Never. It can be sheltered to a degree. But neither is this verse, I believe, saying that you cannot judge me because I appear worldly and wicked and evil. This verse doesn't say that. Because this verse, don't judge, you're judging according to outward appearance. It's out of thinking, it's out of context. This verse is what we think about ourselves and what we think about God. It is true. Man is extremely clever in covering up by appearance. That's true. But it doesn't work. It doesn't matter how hard we try. God already knows it. Remember, we read those powerful scriptures in the beginning. God already knows these thinking patterns. Outward appearance is not a threat to God. Big words, fair speeches, nothing is a threat to God, because he can already see. Isn't that a blessing? To me, that's freeing. I don't know how else. It makes me want to keep on. It does. In the midst of faults and failures, it's freeing. Because this morning, thinking produces actions, and actions produce character. You know, praise the Lord that our characters are being built into the image of Christ, or into the image of our adversary, the devil. Good thinkings. So now we could ask the question, do we see needs in our life? Trying to see those two battlegrounds. The way you view that verse, the way you and I view that verse about taking our thoughts captive. Yes. I think all of us see needs in our life. Is it possible? Yes. Is it possible? Yes, by the authority of the Word of God. Because where God is, and when God controls the conscience, it's unstoppable. because God is greater than he that is of the world. So the very eternal God of heaven dwelling in us, controlling our conscience, controlling our being by the Spirit of the anointed Christ, it's unstoppable. Though there's faults on that pursuit where the devil would like to capitalize and condemn his people. That thought to me is without words. The very creator of the universe driving men's lives. That driving passion, it's hard to even think about that. It'll take a man through blood. It'll take a woman through anything, through all the way to the end, because of that. Other than that, there's no other promise. So with that in mind, I'd like to look at some, just draw, I had to think about this. There seems to be three mindsets that we face in life. And we spoke some on the carnal mindset. We spoke much on the spiritual interpretation. But I was debating, thinking about these three mindsets. And I thought, may the Lord have mercy on us in this hour. Because this right here, is the battle. And those things could be argued. You could say, well, you're saying there's three ways. That's not what I'm saying. But I do believe that it is a battle sometimes for individuals to understand myself. Am I divided in my loyalty, Lord? And so I think it's important that we understand that God is not confusing. What is a spiritual mind? I can look at some verses. I'm just going to read some verses here and on that. What is a spiritual mind? It says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And then it says, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So the mind, the spiritual mind, is the mind that is, if I would say the thoughts, you could say that spiritual mind doesn't never think anything carnal. Can we say that? Reality. But when we look at the bulk of that mind, when you look and you sit and you think about, what am I thinking about, Lord? And your thoughts toward others are peaceful. Your thoughts of God, your thoughts of life, your wife, your children, your thoughts are pure, clean. As a whole, you can trust God. And when thoughts come that are divided against that loyalty, we cast them down. But when they are clearly divided and then they're even, you become pretty carnal, we need to be very honest with those things. You know, think of those scriptures that I just read. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. In 23:59 back here, In Psalms 39:3, he says, My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Listen to what you're saying. And if you have to, play it in a recording. It'll help. And then when you're quietly sitting on your chair, play back what you were saying. Because that's what we're thinking. And it's a blessing. And it helps us to rightly divide. God wants to help us. 23:51. No, in Psalms 143, verse 5, it says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Think about that. Meditate on days of old. Think about things that have happened in life, what God has done. Muse on the work of God's hands, what God has done in my life and your life. It helps war the battle. And then scriptures, a few other scripture verses that I want to bring it to a close. Go to Philippians chapter 4, very familiar verses. Just read those verses in closing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Then he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's the end of the thoughts that the Lord has put in my heart and my mind. So I think for a closing, I wondered if all the young people would like to come up. My son has a few copies of a song that we like to sing, that I'd like for him to sing together to the congregation. And I was thinking on this, that there isn't a better time than right now to change your mind. You know what I mean? Like, we can sometimes sit and say, you know what, something's not right, but someday I'll change. But I would just like to make an invitation. There isn't a better time than right now to change your mind. God will be pleased. He's honored when we change our mind toward Him and allow Him to come. So you young people can come, boys and girls can come sing. And I'll turn the time over after that to Brother Martin. So may the Lord bless each of you.